Radio show?
I can hear it.
But you don't hear Miss Tammy Lee, right?
Nope.
Okay. Maybe somebody can get in here, because we need to have something happen.
Can you all hear me?
No, we have not been able to hear you at all.
Now we can.
Okay. All right. Hey,
are you on the air? Are any of us on the air?
Yeah. Okay, I don't know, ma'am. But hey, you know what? Welcome to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curious Company in Forestville, California. And we have our wonderful Miss Catherine Ironwood of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, and Conjurement Ali of ConjurementAli.com and Miss Vieo, and our very special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, joining in this week. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work. It is divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. We can learn a lot, all of us can, just by listening. But if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and then called into the show, you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to those phones in just a few moments. But first, we're going to catch up with our lovely co-host, Miss Kat, and our gentleman, Conjurement Ali. Miss Kat, turning it over to you, ma'am. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Don't know what happened there. Apparently, Miss Tammy Lee was confined to a pocket dimension where she could only hear her own voice, but no one else could hear her. One of those Steve Ditko pocket dimensions inhabited by masks and disembodied teardrop-shaped paisley-formed thing. So, here we are, let's see. Aside from the fact that I also don't have the rundown, and I don't have the forum posts, and basically this show is hosed from the get-go, I'm here to talk and do things as best I can. Nagashiva, your mic is live, or somebody's mic is live. We're hearing all kinds of strange sounds in the background. There you go. That was better. As my good friend and mentor, Johnny Otis of the Johnny Otis Show and the Johnny Otis Caravan used to say when things like this happen, it's amateur night in Dixie. That was his way
of live radio.
Well, that was his way of not blowing up at people. It's amateur
That's
night
the
at
truth.
Dixie. All right. So, let's see. Well, all I can report about today from the Lucky Mojo is that people have been working very hard in the lab making things. We've had some rain, something that we've been needing for a long time. It has not yet put an end to our drought, but it at least has given the plants a little bit more of a foothold on life. Mostly we've been making products. That's been our thing, just trying to keep up with orders, lots of orders. And meantime, I've also been trying to help Miss Aida with the Lucky Mojo Forum, which has been quite active lately, trying to get all of those people's questions and answers kind of pushed and shoved into the proper categories. And those of you who don't know about the forum, and many people don't, and I can tell you they don't because when they call me up for readings, I always ask them, do you know about the forum? And about 50% of them say, no, never heard of it. So those of you who hear this radio show and don't know about the forum, let me just tell you once again, it's a place where you can go to get answers to your questions about root work. You cannot go there to get readings. You go here to get readings, but you go there to sign up for the readings that you get here. So the two are kind of intimately connected. And the forum has been absolutely put into shape by a number of really good helpers, most recently Miss Aida, who is the current administrator of the forum, and she is just doing a wonderful job, just trying to make sure that everybody's posts are answered and that all their answers are put into the proper section. So big thank you to Miss Aida today. And hello to her dogs, who I know she's staying with today. She had puppies recently. And that should bring some joy to her. Well, she didn't have the puppies. Her dog had the puppies. I don't think she would mind. She's probably laughing now if she hears this. Yes, Miss Aida had puppies. And it was her dog, Asha, who had the puppies. And a nice shout out to Lobo and Athena, her other two dogs. Athena's having some health problems. Any spare prayers for Athena would be much appreciated. Now, I'm going to bring you on, Conjurman Ali, and you're going to probably tell me that it rained down there too in L.A., did it?
It has not, but it is cloudy and overcast, and it is threatening to rain. I think I just need to give it a little poke into the clouds, and it'll start raining. Because we've, you know, as everyone has probably heard me rant and rave in the past, I'm not a fan of the heat. And we have had nothing but 80-degree weather throughout fall, and I'm about done with it. I'm done. So a little bit of rain is definitely most welcome. But it has been otherwise been a very busy week for me. Lots of development, lots of work. Thanksgiving, of course, always is a busy time of year for any root doctor. And I say the holidays in general because we start doing a lot of family work, a lot of ancestor work, love work, and things of that nature. But this week I've also been quite busy with political and societal issues that have kept me away from the practice for a few days. So I'm happy to be back in office and get back to readings and root work, which I love doing.
All right. Well, that's where you belong, too, doing that kind of work. We all
very true.
Love the fact you do it. Well, let's bring in our dear friend, Professor Porterfield.
Welcome, Professor.
Long time no talk, Professor. It's been about 3 days.
Yeah, it's been, 48 hours at least.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I'm so glad to hear from both of you. It has been raining here.
Mm.
So there you go. It's raining in Texas. So
all right.
It missed Southern California. Texas got it. That's what's going on. But,
well, it's always nice to have you here, as most people know. Professor Porterfield, you are the host of your own show, the Now You Know show. And that's on every Thursday, and it's a fantastic show, has a very enthusiastic audience. If anyone who's familiar with this show thinks that the Now You Know show is like this show, no, it's way different. First of all, way more professional. And less conversational. And second of all, Professor Porterfield is the man at the wheel, and he drives that vehicle 90 miles an hour down the radio highway.
Praise from Caesar. Praise from Caesar. So there you go. Now, it's always a joy to be here. And, you know, it is what it is. Amateur night in Dixie, so be it. You know, here's the thing, folks. I guarantee you that if any of the technical difficulties on any of the LMC network radio shows bother you, I personally will give you your full money back. So there you go.
And there we have a taste of Professor Porterfield.
Very cheeky. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get right into our panel discussion. And this discussion this time is one that was proposed by the darling professor, because always our guests bring us our panel discussions. And the topic is the 23rd Psalm, a longstanding favorite among many. Now, around these parts too. Now, I'm going to just start with a bit of an introduction, although this one needs less of an introduction than some of them have in the past. The 23rd Psalm is, it's Psalm number 23, unless you use the Greek version of the Bible, in which case it's Psalm number 22. But that having been said, it's the one that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." Unless you have one of those modern versions in which it probably says, you know, "The Lord is my youth counselor," or the Lord is my caretaker. Who knows? But, you know, it's the one
Co-pilot.
That starts, "The Lord is the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." All right. Having said that, and I hope that you all have a Bible handy. If you don't, get out your copy of Hoodoo Bible Magic. If you don't have that, why, open a little browser window. Go to Google, type in 23rd Psalm, Psalm is spelled P-S-A-L-M, and then type the magic letters K-J-V for King James Version, and you will be automatically directed to one of the many thousands of places on the Internet where the 23rd Psalm can be found. All right, having said that, now you can follow the bouncing ball as Professor Porterfield leads us through the many meanings and uses of the 23rd Psalm.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Kat. So the first thing I would say is that the reason I brought this as a topic is because I am a firm believer, as the title heading says in Hoodoo Bible Magic, that you can do anything, absolutely anything, with Psalm 23. You can bless, you can heal, you can curse, you can sway, you can do anything. But let's talk for a little moment about Psalm 23. It is one of the Psalms attributed, of course, to David, and David was in his youth, supposedly, a herder, a sheep herder. And a lot of the language of Psalm 23 relates to that. Right there, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that theme, of course, continues throughout the entirety of it, speaking about the rod and staff, which are the implements of a shepherd, green pastures from verse 2, still waters as well. And the general conception here is that without its shepherd, the sheep or the flock, well, they would die to predation or to starvation. However, there have been a number of theologians, and I'm going to touch on just one. He's a rather famous Scottish theologian, J. Douglas Macmillan, who argues that much more of Psalm 23 involves sheep. He has placed forth the argument that verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me," refers to, as he put it, the old Oriental sheep herding practice of using little raised tables to feed sheep. And he has also put forth the concept that "Thou anointest my head with oil" may in fact refer to an ancient form of backliner. And those of you who have pets in your house, particularly cats, who have may recently in the last show, since it's become popular, started using these backliners against fleas and other parasites that bother our animals know that it's like an oil that you put on the very back of the neck of your household pets. This was also done to aid in wounds and repel flies from sheep. And
you mean,
finally,
wait a minute, well, Professor Porterfield, are you telling me that he anointeth my head with oil means he put sheep dip on me?
Yes.
Wow.
That is J. Douglas McMillan's suggestion.
Well, I like it.
Yes, that it was actually an oil backliner, much like the garlic oil backliner that we use for cats nowadays.
Yeah, yes. Gotcha.
Now, what's even better, okay, and you'll love this, and Miss Aida will love this, is he goes as far to suggest that verse 6, goodness and mercy shall follow me, is actually meant metaphorically to talk about the fact that in that time, that the standard shepherd had two dogs to help him herd his dog.
Holy moly. Goodness and mercy are the names of his two dogs?
Of his two dogs. The Lord's dogs are goodness and mercy. And a little later on, I'm going to even suggest to you that you can call upon those two dogs, that you can call upon mercy and goodness, like two hunting dogs, like two herding dogs.
I wouldn't say hunting dogs. We're talking like, you know, some kind of border collie types or some kind of shepherd dogs. Wow. Maybe even little poolies. You know, poolies came from that area. They were shepherding dogs at one point. I can just imagine two little dreadlocked poolies, goodness and mercy. Wow. Wow, man, you've just blown my mind. What's the name of this man?
We are talking about J. Douglas McMillan.
And when did J. Douglas
McMillan? He was born in 1933 and he died in 1991. And he was a Christian minister in the Free Church of Scotland.
And I missed him. I would have liked to have gone and shake that man's hand.
He was basically what drew people to him is that his preaching was marked by, quote, powerful originality and strong orthodoxy. And no, not too much coincidence here. He is best known for his book, The Lord Our Shepherd.
Wow.
Which is an exposition on Psalm 23.
Wow. Wow. Ali, have you ever heard this stuff?
No, I haven't, to be honest with you. In fact, the trend or the scholarship that I'm more familiar with is it doesn't come out of the Scottish church, but it comes out of academia. So it is different. For example, I studied Psalm 23 under the direction of Professor Barchi of UCLA, who is a known biblical scholar, New Testament and Old Testament. And he places the psalm specifically and squarely within Jewish practices, Levantine practices of the host and the shepherd. The idea of a shepherd being that the shepherd takes care of its flocks, the flock truly is entirely dependent upon the shepherd, and the shepherd is giving. It is also a condescension of the Lord. The Lord is becoming a shepherd rather than the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord as a shepherd. And this is a sign of trust on humanity's part, where as sheep, you give yourself completely over to the shepherd, knowing that you're food will be taken care of, your water will be taken care of, everything will be taken care of. You will be safe from the fox, from the wolf, from the terrors of the night, because that is what the shepherd's job is. And so this is very clearly both a reflection of, in the academic tradition, very clearly a reflection of David as a shepherd, as well as the Lord taking care of Israel, that there is complete and total trust given to the Lord as a sheep gives trust to its shepherd. The idea of preparing a table also is very clearly tied to Jewish practices of who sits at your table as a host. During this particular time, there was debates about who was worthy to sit at the table. For example, would you invite a tax collector to the table? Would you invite a prostitute to the table? The table, to a certain extent, becomes the altar in the home. where you break bread, who you sit with, and it becomes an act of prayer, so that when he refers, thou preparedst the table before me, for me before my enemies, that this is a not just a table of food, but this is a altar within the home itself. And then, of course, the anointing. It's very fascinating to hear this idea of it being associated with sheep, because I was familiar with anointing in the traditional sense of anointing one who is holy, in the same way that Melchizedek anoints Abraham. And so what we see are certain symbolisms, the shepherd, which is very clearly found in Genesis, all throughout Genesis, and then again being invoked in the Psalms. The idea of the table, which is invoked very much so in the idea of the host practices and hospitality of the Levantine region and the ancient Israelite people. And then the act of anointing, a spiritual act also found in Genesis. So scholarship that I'm familiar with, so this is very fascinating to me, but the scholarship I'm familiar with sees Psalm 23 as invoking the symbols of Genesis and showing the ultimate prayer of trust in the Lord.
Wow. Well, I'm going to tell you, I raised sheep for more than a decade. I raised sheep for more than 20 years, and I'm going to tell you, I'm liking Mr. McMillan. Seriously, I'm digging Mr. McMillan. Because you know how that old song goes, you know, David, David, that shepherd boy. You know what I'm saying? It's about the shepherd boy. I mean, he was coherent. You know what I always called David? You're going to laugh at this, Professor Porterfield. I always called King David the Bob Dylan of his generation. Well, you laughed.
It's true. Now, what's interesting, however, is that we have come to think of this psalm in association with dire trouble and terrible times, and even as part of the funerary prayers in Western and American society. But what's interesting about that is wholly within the 20th century. So as an example, the Book of Common Prayer has only Psalms 39 and 90 in its order for the burial of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the Episcopal Church in the United States, Psalm 23 was not used for funerals, which it is now very often used for funerals, but it was not used for funerals until 1928, the 1928 revision of their prayer book. So that's something new. This, in the terrible, terrible darkness, the terrible, things are so awful, let us use Psalm 23. This was also a psalm, a joyous psalm as well. Having the table prepared, being led to the still waters and the greenery and all of this, that we shall have no fear of the valley of the shadow of death. These things change. There is an evolution. Society goes on. Culture.
Well, I think it speaks to the power of the Psalms too. Is here we have a variety of different interpretations of what the Psalm means. For example, in the case of Scott McMillan, I think you said his name was. He's invoking the idea of the shepherd, and he's bringing his background in. And this speaks to Miss Cat, who raised sheep. And that's the beauty of it. And then there's the textual interpretation of it that looks at it as the temple and puts it within a historical context. And then there's this idea of it being, recited during times of joy. But then you have the church and other people in America who recite it during times of trouble. The beauty of the Psalms is that they're such powerful prayers that they invoke feeling on an almost indescribable level that you can call upon. You can, it touches you in a variety of different ways, that anyone who picks up the Bible and reads a psalm or any verse will relate to it in a different and uniquely personal manner. So just this conversation alone, if you kind of pull back and look at all of our different ways of thinking about Psalm 23, is a testament to the power of the psalm.
Yes. Well, but now let's now at this point, I'm sure we've put a few people to sleep, and they're going,
yes,
I don't
yes.
care
wake
if it's
up,
sheep
wake
or...
Up.
Yeah, I don't care if it's sheep or if it's Genesis or what the heck, why and what do you do with it? So let's talk a little bit. We got a few minutes left here. And I know you're going to come back with a Psalm 23 spell later on, but let's talk about some of the ways that we use Psalms 23. I'm just going to give a couple of examples that I know, very common examples that are used all the time. Number one, you can take Psalms 23 and you can write it down in your own handwriting, and then you can put that in your wallet with some money, and it will get you more money. You can use Psalms 23 to write on the back of a person's photo that you want to have come to you, and you can use Psalms 23 to take anything that you want or like. For instance, let's say you need to pay your mortgage off. You can take your mortgage papers, you write Psalms 23, and just file it among your mortgage papers. It takes care of them for you. Okay? How about you, Charles? What do you say?
Well, I say that you can use Psalm 23 to make sanctified water.
Mm-hmm.
By praying Psalm 23 over a container of water and adding a pinch of salt or a couple of drops of rose oil to it, that
mm-hmm.
essentially you've made holy water. I say also you can take Psalm 23 and use it to make blessed olive oil to anoint it.
I was just
head.
About to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again,
mm-hmm.
saying Psalm 23 over a container of olive oil over a series of days, and then also a total of 7 days, actually. And then you may also add a pinch of salt to that as well, or
mm-hmm.
use that not only for, you use that to making your anointing oils and other things, but the one that comes to me is the one that was taught to me by a friend of mine, great person, wonderful, erudite, scholarly woman sitting next to me here in the studio, and
mm-hmm.
that was that if you have a broken mirror and you're facing 7 years of bad luck, you bury the pieces of the mirror in your backyard, not throw them away. You clean the area where the mirror broke with Chinese floor wash and then take a ritual bath for uncrossing while reciting the 23rd Psalm.
That's right. That's an old one I learned down in Oakland, California. How about you, Ollie? Do you have a favorite 23rd Psalm spell?
There really is so many different uses for it. I was going to mention the holy oil one. It's one of my favorite of all time, and it's something that I use quite a bit. So I'm going to, since it's already been mentioned, I'm going to go a little bit esoteric. One of the traditional uses of Psalm 23, because Psalm 23 textually has sometimes been referred to as an exilic psalm, or a psalm that's about pilgrimages to the temple or yearning to return to homeland, is that if someone is going on a long journey, this was often done by wives if their husbands were going away, or if someone is facing exile or needed to go somewhere, Psalm 23 would be sewn into the pocket over the breast of the shirt that the man would wear or the individual would wear. And I've seen that work wonderfully. It keeps people safe during their travels. It keeps someone safe during a pilgrimage. And it ensures that they return home safely.
That's a good one. And, of course, there's one I've mentioned on this radio show many a time, which is to save up your money in a Bible, starting with putting money in at Psalms 23. And there's several different patterns of whether you put more money in every seven pages or every page or whatever, every beginning of every chapter or every beginning of every book. But however you do it, there's usually a pattern that you then fill the Bible with money. And sometimes you come around and start again at Genesis and get up to Psalms 23. Sometimes you just go to the end of the book and that's it. Different people teach it different ways, but Psalms 23 has always been associated with putting money in the Bible for reasons that probably have to do with, you know, the idea of plentifulness, but it is always physical paper money that is put into the Bible, and I know
mm-hmm.
hundreds of people who do that. Also, I know a lot of people, when I ask them, I say, do you know Psalms 23? When I'm talking to them on the phone, so many people will say, well, that's my psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up something else. Not everybody has a psalm. Not everybody thinks of themselves as a Jewish or Christian. But if they do, and if they have a psalm, more often than not, it will be Psalms 23. That is the most popular psalm for someone to have, is their own psalm. Probably because David was so popular, and this is the most, his is his biggest hit psalm, as it were.
And also, it was a song used to teach memorization and recitation in early English school.
Oh, that's true. Good point. That's a good point. That psalm, memorizing that psalm and reciting it as a portion from memory, very, very common in Sunday schools, Baptist Sunday schools. Now, in the chat room, K.S. Witten says, I love Psalms 91 also. That's a good one,
yes.
too. But not usually used as in this way, because not usually used, you know, as a child's recitation to show that they've learned how to speak a psalm. Very good point, Charles. That this psalm is known for that. Absolutely known for that.
But I will say in response to her statement very quickly that if they don't say, and you know, like people say, oh, that's my jam. If they don't say, oh, Psalm 23 is my psalm, the next psalm they'll say is Psalm 91.
Yeah, a lot of people do like that one, Psalms number 91.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very much a fan of it, and K.S. Witten says also it uses it for protection, but as Charles said, that's a more recent use. And for me, what I like about Psalms 23 is it contains everything, and that's why you can do anything with it. It contains all of the portions and parts of all types of spell work.
Mm-hmm. It's common, for example, you to use the holy oil to help a child sleep, right? And you would think that that's not a, you know, reading the psalm, it's not something that's often talked about, that this is a common use of Psalm 23, but you can use that. I was also told that if you don't have holy oil, or if you have, you know, no one's prayed over the holy oil or made holy oil, as Professor Porterfield has indicated, you can also just recite Psalm 23 and gently blow on the child's face as you rub their head, and it'll help a child who's restless or having nightmares go to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna have to move on. We usually have a little piece of music at this time, but Amateur Night in Dixie is continuing, and we are at the end of our panel discussion.
I think we have 7 more minutes of the panel.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. Remember, I said at the beginning of the show my clock is off.
My clock is off.
You're right.
Well, then I will rush in and say that
this is Amateur Night in Dixie.
Psalm 23 is used to gather money and to aid in prosperity is because it's the gathering up of a flock.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gathering in that flock of bills.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you can also use it for anything regarding your house as well. If your house is troubled or if a relationship is troubled, the relationship between a man and a woman, Psalm 23 is great to bring peace into the house and love in the house. My cup overfloweth is not just talking about financial abundance and abundance in regards to having everything, but also an abundance of love and abundance of peace within the home. Holy oil can be used to anoint the corners of the bedpost. You can also pray it in the house over your cooking, and it brings peace and serenity, especially during these tricky holiday times where everyone is over and family's over. A little bit of peace water around the house while praying over your cooking, Psalm 23 will ensure that the house remains in a state of peace and blessing.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's really good.
Unless you have a really volatile relationship with your in-laws, in which case, just go straight in and use the "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death" part.
That's true.
I was thinking Adonai, but that works too.
I don't know if we've mentioned this, but Psalms 23 is, I think, the only psalm that has had numerous books written just about it. In other words, mm-hmm. I know of a book on Psalms of Imprecation, you know, the cursing psalms, and I know of a few other books on the psalms in general, but I know of no other psalm that has had so many books written about just itself. And this is an interesting thing because, in a strange way, this indicates that Psalms 23 is kind of a summation of the entire pastoral part of the Bible. And this is why I like this Mr. Mm-hmm. McMillan. I got to learn more about him, because this is really the whole idea of Jesus as a shepherd, which comes later out of the Christian religion. It's a callback or a throwback to this King David as a shepherd, because, of course, Jesus mm-hmm. was of the house of David, so forth and so on. There's all these what are used to be called types and antitypes. And so the idea that Jesus is a shepherd is one thing that has made this psalm so popular with Christians. Otherwise, it would just be some archaic Jewish semi-forgotten thing. But about sheep, yeah. But when we have pictures of Jesus with sheep, then we begin to bring in a larger group of people. The Christians outnumber the Jews by quite a number, and they come in and they really love this psalm. And the funny thing about it is, in my experience, Psalms 23 is one of the few places where Christians will admit they actually got something from Jews. Yeah. They'll say they'll throw out all of the dietary laws. They'll throw out all of the Ten Commandments that they can get away with throwing out or redefine them into non-existence. But when it comes to Psalm 23, that they don't want to lose that, and they will acknowledge that that was Jewish. Funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's also important that we point out and remember at this point in time that that Orthodox Christians typically include the use of Psalm 23 in the preparation of receiving the Eucharist.
Ah.
So there you go. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Papa G says they got Jesus from the Jews. Go on over to my Facebook page and you'll see we talk about that a little bit over there. I've just been in a conversation with folks about it. And, you know, this is a long-standing issue about the friendship between Jews and Christians, and the friendship is based around Psalms 23, to my knowledge. It's something we all agree on. So it's kind of an ambassador of good faith and between people, in my opinion.
I'm telling you, Psalm 23, it has something for everybody in every situation.
That's right. You can do anything with Psalm 23.
That's very
and
true.
And although the Psalms are songs, I think that it's also fun to mention just how much music is influenced or based around or has callback to Psalm 23. I mean, from Duke Ellington to the Grateful Dead, Coolio, Tupac Shakur. I mean, the list goes on, and a Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally,
mm-hmm.
I'm not making this
mm-hmm.
stuff up, folks, you know?
Yeah.
It's all, you know, all of this centered around that. So,
yeah.
Very popular.
That's good. That's good stuff, Psalms 23. And all I can say one more thing about it is get yourself a Bible, learn how to read. That's a line from an old song.
mm-hmm.
All right, Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Cat, and y'all, the lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjumana Lee, and this week's very special guest, Professor Porterfield, ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. We'll be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you've filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the forum and take our first caller, and our first caller is actually calling back in to us from area code 281, and this is Josh. Josh, are you there, please, from 281 Houston?
Hi, I'm here.
Great. Is it? Can you repronounce that for me, sweetie? I just need some help today.
Okay. Joash.
Joash. Joash. Thank you so much, love. I appreciate it so much, more than you can imagine. Okay. And so just going to remind our panel here that you were back on in early October and that you have had some readings and or root work with Miss Phoenix of Air, and writing a brief description of your situation. I started a new job recently where I have to build a client base of prosperous people who are use private shopping and catering services. Nice. I want to know what I can do to draw an abundance of clients to bring me a stable business and prosperity if I will be successful in this job. Also, the store is as slow as a whole, and now my numbers are being cut, or hours, rather. Hours are being cut, hours, okay? Is there work that I can do to help with the store as a whole so that my hours don't get cut? Or is this out of my control? I'm trying to get back over to you.
All right, hon. So this this new job, and I'm going to ask just a couple of questions about this because I'm kind of a little unclear. This is for people who use private shopping and catering services, and is this done through a bricks and mortar or is it done through online? How is it accomplished?
It can be both. You have to meet clients either in the store or go outside the store. To generate business, do cold calling, so it can be either.
I see. Okay. And has this company existed for a while, or is this a startup?
Oh, it's an existing company.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. But right now, the company is the store is slow. Now, we've got another question, because I'm still kind of unclear. The reason I want to ask this is because I want to know how many people we're dealing with here. And in order to read, I want to know whether we're dealing with just one person. So you say the store is slow as a whole. This is a one location, or is it a chain?
It's a chain. It's just my particular location.
Ah, gotcha. Now I'm beginning to get the picture, see, because this is what I need to know. When I read, I kind of want to know who I'm reading for, and I know you, but I want to know what I'm reading about. All right, so I'm going to cut the cards. I'm using the Rider-Waite-Smith deck. First card is the Three of Cups. Well, that's a good card. It shows three women working together. So it says to me that there can be abundance, there can be success, and there can be some prosperity here. It's a very good card, but what makes this card good is the three people are toasting each other. In other words, everybody is happy in each other's happiness. Some places, when you work at them, you know, some people get commissions and other people resent their commissions or tips or things like that. If that is the attitude at this place, this card won't fly. But this card is about people celebrating each other's victories. And so when you ask, can you do help for the store so that your hours don't get cut, what I would say is try to draw in and help others. Form a little team within a team. If there's anybody else, how many employees are there?
About 200.
200? Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, you want to form definitely a team within a team and form some sort of a outreach to a few people who've got your back and you've got theirs. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It may not be that the structure of the organization is such, but that's what you need to do, because those who toast one another and celebrate together have the joy of it. Okay? It's a good card, but it just means that you got to work in it one certain way. And then the next card is a card that says there have been losses, and now you're dealing with them. This is a card called the Five of Cups, and it shows three cups spilled. Now, we had three cups, and now three cups are spilled, but we got two more to go on. So what this says to me is, yeah, you started in the past with this pretty high hopes for this place, and now there's some tragedy here. There's some loss. There's some problems. Meanwhile, water going under the bridge, time is passing, and there's a ruined castle across the river. Don't look back on the ruination. You just cannot deal with it. It's time to pick up anything that has been lost or that was ineffective or that was not good. Pick up those cups, wipe them out, clean them up, and go forward. Because if you spent any time looking back, you will just suffer more loss. And more hours will be cut, and in all ways it will be unproductive to you. So I'm not trying to put this all on you. You're working for a company with 200 people. They should be able to run their own show. But what I'm saying here is that your attitude is going to have an impact on how they perceive you. So worrying and looking back will not be to your best advantage, but coming up with some plans, and particularly what I call cleaning up messes. The dropped cups, they spilled. You can't get the wine back in those cups. They're gone. So people used to say when I was young, oh, just leave those cups. Go on with the two good ones. But I look at it and I go, those are valuable cups. You can fill them later. Refill them later. Clean them up. Take them with you. So mourn over the loss. Just clean up any messes. Now, that can mean spiritual messes, and it can also mean social messes. It can also mean deals that went wrong, situations that were less than satisfactory, people who their complaints weren't dealt with adequately. Whatever it may be, clean it up and move on. Is it hard to say? Because it's not a cheerful card, and it's a card that shows that the attention to the past may distract you from your good future here. Not trying to blame you, because the card can also refer to the other people around you. In other words, if the whole place goes, oh, the store is slow, they start to develop a gloom mentality, then they're not going to be ready, willing, and able to step up to more advancement and better things. Now, the third card, which is the card of the future, is a card called the Queen of Wands. So we had two cups, and now we have a wand. Now, this Queen of Wands is a lady who's on a throne, and she is a person who has a number of interesting attributes. First of all, she sits on a throne, and she's got power. Second of all, her throne has lions on it, and she has a banner behind her with lions embroidered on it. Third, she has a sunflower in her hand, and there are sunflowers embroidered on her banner. So these are about optimism, about loyalty. Leo is the sign of the lion, and Leo stands for loyalty and self-pride and justified pride in one's accomplishments. The sunflower is one that always turns its face to the sun, always optimistic, keep on the sunny side of life. The lady sits on this throne, and in front of her is a little black cat. And that's a strange reminder, because the little black cat is all puffed up like it's about to hiss, and it's like a Halloween cat. And that says there is something that you need to be aware of, that you need to defend against. You've ever seen those 100,000 little videos that come across your Facebook feed of little cats jumping into the air, right? Little kittens. Ah! That's what this cat is about to do. Something may be worth watching, and you need to prepare yourself to react. Not to say you have an enemy, not to say anything bad, but be defensive, or what we would call proactively defensive. Make sure that you defend yourself against things that go on around you. Okay, that's my reading. Let's turn this thing over to Professor Porterfield.
Thank you, Ms. Cat. Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
As Ms. Cat was reading her cards for you, I laid out three cards as well, and I read standard playing cards, the kind that you would play bridge or poker or canasta or blackjack with. And what I have here sitting in front of me in a line from left to right is the Ten of Clubs, Seven of Clubs, and Nine of Clubs. So the first thing here is that this is very much centered in and around the workplace and in and around the issues of work. There are no external contaminating factors going on here, meaning this is not actually, someone's throwing work on the place, or, oh, this is because somebody in the corporation or in the management there is having a love affair and it's distracting them. No, this is very much simply about work. Now, the interesting thing here is that this sequence of cards, 10, 7, 9, we don't have the 8 here. So it's not 10, 9, 8, it's not 9, 8, 7. And that tells me that there is a breakage in the continuation or the functionality of those in charge of the workplace. There is a soft disconnect here. Someone somewhere in the structure is not carrying their weight. Details are being missed. Okay? There's a lurch In other words, we're walking along, 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, okay? There's this hiccup, and that hiccup is causing some other problems to fall out of it into the workplace. Now, outside of that, very much what was said to you by Ms. Kat is correct, and we're just seeing a repetition of it here, so I won't go into that too much because, well, you just heard it. Except that there is a warning here that one, particularly in and around this 9, that you should be a little bit mindful towards the elimination of unhealthy habits that you might be bringing to the situation. So if you have a tendency to be late, you need to stop that. If you have a tendency to let people get under your skin or what they're doing kind of just winds you up, you need to start taking a pause and a breath with that, etc. As well as you need to be on the lookout for people immediately to your left and right, not above you, but immediately to your left and right, having unhealthy habits as well that may be breaking up their helpfulness in the work environment or causing them to be part of that hiccup that we've discussed. Now, this being said, we have right in the middle here the 7 of clubs. Now, the 7 of clubs is a pretty good card here because the 7s kind of break the normal pattern of progression in the playing cards from the ace to the king, in that the 7s can be so much more than what they are. The bad side of them is that they can be too much. So it can be too much love, too much money, too many troubles, or in this case, too much work. So you need to take a step back and see what you can do to make sure that although business is, quote, slow, that the business is not engaging in an operation where they overbook or take on too much work without enough people involved. Otherwise, what we have here, again, is being spoken of by the 9, is a general marshaling its troops. Then that progresses into the 2, which is the 2 marshaling together. So I agree with Ms. Kat. Look to make a team within a team. Even more specifically, look for one other who is specifically going to be supportive towards you in work, and that person may be softly above you, meaning they won't be, you know, way, 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 way up the corporate structure ahead of you, boss, but they may be a supervisor just above you a little bit, and that person can prove to be a great ally. And that's what I have to say on this, and I hope that was helpful to you.
Yeah, that that person just above reminds me of that Queen of Wands, too. And so that's a good combination there. Definitely make some friends here. All right, well, let's turn it over to Ali, and he's going to give you some root work advice, see what we can do with that.
I just wanted to add that when Professor Porterfield and Ms. Kat are talking about someone softly above you, that sometimes in a workplace may not actually be a supervisor, but it may be someone who is a senior to you. So someone who's been at the job a little bit longer, so they have a little bit of seniority. So that might be another person or another way this person manifests, just something to be aware of. I have a couple things that I'm going to suggest for you root work-wise in order to get both kind of business up, you know, taking an upturn, as well as to bring in prosperity for yourself. First and foremost, I want you to get some peace water and kind of sprinkle that around your place. The reason I say this is this will soothe out any type of troubles. This will ensure that it's a good workplace. It will ensure that everyone gets along great, and it's always a good start whenever you're doing some type of root work for business. Next, I want you to get yourself some attraction powder, some money drawing powder, some steady work powder, some Lucky Mojo sachet powders. You're going to get yourself a pentacle. You're going to get yourself the 3rd pentacle of the sun. On the back of this, you are going to write your petition, write a letter to God, write out, you know, whatever way petition you feel comfortable with. You can write just a direct prayer, bring me money, bring me clients, whatever you want. Write it on there, anoint it with some Van Van oil, and you are going to do this by light of a white candle that you have dressed with attraction oil. Then you're going to take that petition paper and you are going to burn it in the flame of that candle and mix with the powders. Add to this mixture a pinch of sugar and some dirt from the four corners of the property that you're working on, you know, business or whatever the work is at. You're going to then sprinkle this mixture at the front door of your workplace. This is to draw in clients, this is to draw in money, and this is to ensure that both the place and you remain prosperous. I want you to also keep a pinch of that mixture in your shoe, okay? So you've laid it out at the front door so that clients are walking through there. It's drawing clients in, and you've got a pinch in your shoe as well. Next, I want you to get some Hoyt's cologne, and I want you to get a John the Conqueror root. I want you to pick a John the Conqueror root that calls out to you, okay? And you're going to put that John the Conqueror root in the Hoyt's cologne. All right. Now, Hoyt's, the bottle is sometimes the neck is small, so you can't fit it in there. You might need to put it in a different container, like a mason jar or something like that. Every day when you get up to go to work, before you leave, you're going to dip your hands into that Hoyt's cologne. You're going to wash your hands in that, and you're going to dab a little bit of the cologne on your neck. It's going to be the cologne, your personal scent that you're going to wear. Hoyt's cologne smells great. You'll smell wonderful. Don't wear too much of it, as it can be slightly overpowering. You do this, and I sense that you will draw to you the right allies, that you will bring to you the right client, and that you will bring in a level of prosperity that you are looking for, okay? Now, I'm going to see if my clients have any, or my colleagues, my clients, my colleagues have anything else to add to this.
Well, I like what you said, hon. I think it's really good stuff. I'm going to just say one more thing about a little bit about that protection I saw in that little black cat card,
mm-hmm.
And it was alluded to. If people are cutting your hours, one of the things that I like to use is a little boss fix, and you just put it around where you're working, and just as you put it down, you can put down little crosses, little X's, and say, don't cut my hours, and see if you can just sort of protect your space or protect yourself that way. It's just an idea that some people have found useful. How about you, Professor Porterfield?
Well, I agree with everything I've heard here. Excellent advice. Should work wonderfully for you, but I'm going to bring this home tonight and add this to all of the work that you have been given by Conjure Man Ali and Miss Cat. Since the business you work for is for people who are doing online catering, shopping, and you're wanting to make sure as well that your hours aren't going to be cut and that no one has anything against you, to all of the work that you have been given, I want you to add to it the recitation of the fifth verse of Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And that is to aid in the shopping, the catering, and the protection from anybody that might be wanting to do anything against you at work.
That's a real nice way of looking at it. I like that. Bringing it back home. Okay. All right, hon. I hope we were able to help. It looks like you have some work ahead of you, and call back later in some time and tell us how it's going for you, okay?
Thank you.
And then we're going to turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she's going to bring in our next caller. And,
well, yes, ma'am.
And I Miss Tammy Lee.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Miss Cat. I didn't mean to step on your toes, Miss Cat. You know I love you and I respect you. All right, y'all, and support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at rootersandrootworkers.org. And also by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and take our next new client. This is a new client, and calling in from Los Angeles, California. Los Angeles, 818. This is Bilongo from Los Angeles. Are you there, Bilongo?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for listening to the archives here of the show. We appreciate that, and also for being a loyal listener. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your case and also let our panel know that you have not yet gone to any other readers or root workers from air, okay? And she writes, to bring a loving partner into my life, rather, I beg your pardon, I've been doing work. To bring a loving partner into my life. I recently heard from a former lover out of the blue. Since speaking with him, I have begun to focus my efforts on bringing him closer. He lives far away from me, but is willing to communicate until I can visit him. What can I do, and if anything, to bring this new relationship with this person about? Turning it back over to you.
All right. Well, Bilongo, I want to ask a couple of questions first. What sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Leo.
Leo. Mm-hmm. And what sign of the zodiac is he?
Aquarius. I actually reached out to Conjurman Ali, but I hadn't had a chance to communicate with him yet. So about this issue, but
well, I'll be doing the first reading.
Right. So, well, let me get this clear. You say you reached out to him. Did you schedule an appointment with him, but it hasn't yet been fulfilled?
Yes. Well, I sent an email. Like, I guess I was trying to figure out how it works. I sent out for an email consultation, but I haven't heard back yet.
Okay, gotcha. All righty. Well, he's here now. So there
good.
You go. Okay. Take it
more
away,
time.
Ali.
I have a quick question for you. Are you involved in an ATR or anything like that?
What do you mean? What is that?
The answer to that is no, then, because it's the reason
well,
I asked.
You mean alternative religion?
No, African traditional religion. That's what ATR
stands
for.
Yes, I am.
For.
Yes,
oh,
I am. I didn't know the. Yes, I'm initiated into Shango, also Ifa, and just Scratch Palo.
Perfect. That makes sense. The reason I asked that is because your name is Bilongo, and Bilongo is the Bantu word for medicine.
Yes.
So that's why I asked. Wonderful. It's great that you are. I have pulled three cards here, and I'm going to go over them for you. I can tell you right now that there is some trouble ahead, and so you're going to have to, you know, call upon some of the power that you've got there. The first card that I have here is the Four of Cups. Here is an individual sitting under a tree. His arms are crossed. There's three goblets before him, and another one is being reached out and offered to him. This is a hand coming out of a cloud. It invokes the Ace of Cups. This is your interest in getting something going with this person. But this person has other cups, other options available. While you two have been communicating long distance and your interest is sparked, and he may certainly be showing interest, be careful that what you offer him, what you may be interested in, he may not be interested. And this is because he has other options available there, options that you may not be aware of quite yet. The next card that I have is the Hermit. This shows us a man on a rugged hill or a mountaintop, and he is looking to the past, and he's got a staff in his hand, a black cloak, and a lantern. And in that lantern is a small little star. He is looking to the past. I have no doubt that there is interest on his part, but there is distance between you. This is a man from your past who's come back and rekindled some emotions for you and some interest on your end, but there's distance. He may be just out of your reach. If you're trying to get this man to come back to you, if you're trying to draw this man back to you, it is not a good sign for rekindling romance. This is a man who is remote, who is distant. So be careful. And the final card that I have is the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords is the card of betrayal. You are going to find out something about this man that will utterly erode any attempts that you have made to drawing him back into your life. So here we have the image of an individual stabbed 10 times in the back as they are bleeding out. There is betrayal here, and I think that this is tied into the Four of Cups earlier. He's talking to other people. All right, and there is other romantic things going on there. And once you find out about this, it's going to take away the chance of you and him getting together. These cards are not good. Neither of these cards are positive for getting a relationship going, a romance going in any way, shape, or form. For me, they're a clear indication of, I think it's better for you to walk away from this and find new love. You started off saying that you're interested in drawing love into yourself. I think that you have the power to do so. You mentioned that you were initiated into Shango, that you've been scratched below your work, and in Ifa. That's very powerful spirits to work with. You have a lot of power. I don't think it should be wasted on this man, because there is more going on here than meets the eye, and it's going to end up hurting you. It's best, and I rarely give such a definitive no, but I'm going to have to say that from my professional opinion as a reader, no, this is not the guy for you. It's better to walk away. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That was very clear cut, too. And if you know those cards, Belongo, if you don't, look them up, write them down and look them up, because those pictures are very definitive pictures. Really, it's a pretty serious reading. Well, let's see what Charles has to say.
Yes, thank you. Well, what I have sitting in front of me here, from left to right, is the King of Hearts, Three of Hearts, and Seven of Clubs. So let's discuss this quickly. Now, generally, I would be almost tempted to tell you, oh, how positive, you've got these two hearts. But no, this is a little troubling in this layout. I really have to go with what my colleague has said here, because the King of Hearts can be a very deceptive card. Normally, when you're reading for a young lady and she's interested in a guy and we're talking about the guy and up comes the King of Hearts, hooray, excitement, wonderful, he's the king and the hearts, it's all love and romance. The problem is, he is also a suicide king, all right? He is sitting here with this sword up, hidden behind his head. And so it looks like he's hit himself in the head with his sword, so they call him the Suicide King. The problem is that he wears his heart on his sleeve.
Oh.
He can be overtly emotional. He can throw emotional kind of game-playing temper tantrum sort of thing. And also, he is sitting directly across from this Seven of Clubs, with the Three of Clubs in between. That tells me that, indeed, the work you did to attract someone back or to bring someone into your life did affect him.
Mm.
But here's the interesting thing about that, and it's something that maybe it doesn't get said as much as it should nowadays. You have to consider the fact that the work you did actually affected him. What do I mean by that? We all want the results, otherwise we wouldn't be doing the work. But this man fell quickly to the work. You see what I'm saying? You
yeah.
whistled, and he went, yes, here I am, right here. I'm going to pick up the phone and call you out of the blue. Here you go. How are you? And the problem with that is that speaks with him with this hidden self-harming sword, speaks to him also being a little weak-willed, a little too easily swayed. And if he's swayed by you today, who is he going to be swayed by tomorrow? Which leads us immediately to this card that's sitting next to him, Three of Hearts. Three of Hearts is generally, again, a good card for romance, because it's a path, we're starting out, we're growing, okay? The problem here, though, is that the Two of Hearts has become the Three. So in other words, he and she has become he and she and she. And even on a standard deck of cards, you will see that two of those hearts are facing the same way. They're both moving together, okay? That third heart is turned around. It's facing the other way. So what Conjurman Ali said, I think is true. You need to be aware that there's somebody or somebody's else out there, all right? And rather than saying that this man is a dog, I would say this guy doesn't know how to say no, all right? So you can only trust this fellow as far as he is within the line of your sight and your voice.
Got it.
So then finally, we have that Seven of Clubs.
Seven of Clubs is sitting here. It's interesting that it came back. After several full shuffles, here it is again, Seven of Clubs. And that tells us that things in the work environment, his schedule, your schedule, and clubs also being about travel, tells me the distance is too far, the schedules aren't going to work out. This is not somebody you want to have a long-distance relationship with, because, again, you can trust him when he's inside your line of sight. And if he's somewhere else, way out in the country, no. So I have to kind of go with what Conjure Man Ali has told you already. This is not the guy. I mean, you know, I'll be honest with you. You could have a nice, fun time. These cards in front of me tell me that, yeah, you can get on the plane, you can go see him, and it'll be a wild weekend. Woo-hoo! But if you're looking for a relationship, forget about it. Nah, you're just buying yourself trouble. And I hope that's been of some aid to you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Well, Milongo, that leaves me with very little root work options, but I'm going to say a couple of things here. You used a phrase that stuck in my mind. You said, he is willing to communicate until I can visit him. That doesn't sound all that eager. He's willing to communicate until I can visit. And what you seem to be saying is that you know you can throw a whammy on him if you can just get your naked body up against his, which you probably can, right?
Well, but yeah, what
did you say?
That may be true, but that wasn't really what I was going for.
All right. Well, it's funny because willing to communicate doesn't mean like he's eager to communicate. It doesn't mean like he's counting the days. He's saving his cash to get on the plane to be, you know, it's like very tentative here. Now, you were former lovers. I'm going to ask you one question. When you broke up, whose choice was it to break up?
It was mutual because he had to go back to he lives in Europe, so he had to go back, and I was fine with it because I knew that he would have better opportunities there, and I just put him out of my mind because I thought, you know, clearly I'm not going to torture myself over it.
Right.
And then he decided, even though he was going to be here, he didn't want to pursue it further because he didn't want his emotions to get all involved. And I thought, all right.
Yeah. Okay, got it. The man who doesn't want to get his emotions all involved is not a man worth doing love spells on.
Well, if he was leaving, he didn't want to get all attached because he wasn't
right. There's men who've been faithful and loved one woman 27 years in prison and never saw her once. And she'd been faithful and true to him 27 years in prison, and when they get back together, it's solid as a rock. No. But what I'm trying to say here is that this is not the love of your life. It's not enough love. Maybe neither of you. Maybe both of you are very intellectual about this, but you're the kind of person who probably could give love forever. Him, not so much. He really is about his other things, too. He's just trying to fit it all together. So I'm gonna give you some root work, and it's going to be not root work to get him, to begin a new relationship with him. It's not going to be that for that, and it's not going to be root work to get you to go to somebody else. I'm going to ask you to do some root work to clarify what his intentions are, just clarity, okay? Now, what I would like you to do is to do some skull candle work, or you can use a vigil candle, either one or the other. You can use little small 4-inch candles if you have a lot of them on hand. But I want you to take into account his time zone differences from you. And if you can, conveniently, when he's asleep, I want you every night for at least one menstrual cycle of yours. One menstrual cycle, okay? Starting with when you get your period. Right? And anoint the candle with a little of your blood. You can put on it a few other things, too, such as come to me, or love me, or attraction, bewitching, whatever it is you want to do that. You can do it with a skull candle. If you do it with a skull candle, you're going to have to burn it just for a few minutes at a time, because you want to burn that thing for one menstrual cycle. Okay. If it's little candles, just anoint the little ones. If it's a big old vigil candle, you can burn it in sections or burn several of them. However you like to work your candles, that's up to you. Okay. Now, you're going to start by anointing that with a little of your menstrual blood. Let it dry. You know, you don't want it all sputtering and all that. And a little of that oil. And on the candle, if you can, inscribe, you know, something to the effect of, you know, reveal your heart. Tell your intention. Don't try to push him to have an intention. Just get him to reveal his intention. You can use white candles for this. I like to use the skull candles because they're real, you know, it's someone's brain in there, I guess you could say. But there are many other ones you could use. Do this, burn it just for a short time every night, kind of like a little radio air check, you know. Let's say it's 9 p.m. where you are. Let's say it's 4 in the afternoon where you are, and it's midnight where he is. Whatever it is, you're going to try to be as regular as possible about it, and you're going to send out a call. So-and-so, as you sleep, think of me. As you dream, dream of me. When you awaken, contact me and tell me what's on your mind. And do this for one whole menstrual cycle. When you get back to having your period, again, close it with one more candle with fresh period blood, right? Now, in between time, you had your period and then you don't, just use your sexual fluids, whatever you got, just stick your finger up your pussy and just swirl around that candle just a little touch, right? That's to get him to know that it's you. This is you calling, right? Not anybody, some random chick, right? And see, during that 1 month that you give this, see if you can get him to reveal and speak his honest mind. Get him to speak his true feelings. Get him to speak his real thoughts. Okay?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that he has any real thoughts for romance right now. I just think that he kind of got hit by whatever energy I was putting out, and I don't even think he's aware. So maybe
like I said before, those two other readings just kind of talked me out of any root work at all. I was just going under the intention that you would be disappointed if there was no root work to do. But what I'm saying is, hey, give it a month. But if not, just keep on, just say to the universe, thank you, universe, for sending me back my old boyfriend, but I'm really looking for someone new, and reform the whole spell that you did in the first place to draw someone new. Now, you can draw someone new with a similar type of work, but instead of thinking of this man, you're just going to open your heart to the universe and just say, you know, bring me the man that I need, bring me the man that I love, bring me the one I desire, and let me know him when I see him. Okay? Let's see what other folks have to say here. Charles, do you have anything to add on to this?
Well, no, not I really don't, because it seems like we've come to a nice little resolution. But I will say that if you are concerned about him sniffing around and you kind of want him to go in a more peaceful way, you can just light a white candle and say to it, you know, in his name that, you know, thank you, but thank you, no. And then you can just dismiss him and then say again the 23rd Psalm over that candle 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. How about you, Ollie? Do you have a last minute word on this one?
Yeah, just real briefly, you did work to draw in a lover. I said this in the chat, and I'm just going to say it for the benefit of people who don't see the chat. When you do love work, it's like baking cookies. It's going to bring a bunch of people to sniff around. Former lovers will suddenly appear out of nowhere. New lovers will come out, but it's up to you to decide who you give the cookies to. In this case, the readings have indicated, nope, not this guy. So continue to do your love work with faith, with trust, and know that the right person will come to you.
Yeah, that's the thing. And be patient. You know, sometimes it seems like a sign, wow, that man came back. But there were reasons you drifted apart in the first place.
Yeah.
So you got to take those into consideration. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in checking things out, and I would do that little bit of work just to see if it really was him, but I don't think it is either.
Okay.
So good luck to you, sweetheart, and we hope all the best for you. And, you know, again, check in with us later and see, you know, in a few months and see how your work is progressing and what kind of things are happening in your love life. We want to see you find the love you want, and there's someone out there. All right, Miss Tammy Lee, how's it going?
Well, yes, ma'am, it's Kat, and we're getting ready to go ahead and do our freestyle section. But before y'all that, we just wanted to remind you, please join us on the LMC Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. We start out the week on Sundays with the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Conjurman Ali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And on Monday, we have Candelo's Corner with Candelo Cambisa. And on Tuesdays, we've got the Crystal Silence League Hour with Gene St. John. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I beg your pardon. And also followed by Beverly Smith from 6 to 7 with In the Streets. Oh, dear. Okay. And on Wednesdays, we've got Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston. Thursdays, it's the Now You Know show with Professor Porterfield. And all are available through the Lucky Mojo Radio Network. So tune in, LMCRadioNetwork.com. And your freestyle section is coming up right now with Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas. Professor Porterfield.
Thank you so much, Miss Tammy Lee. Sure do appreciate
Thank
it.
You,
well,
sir.
Folks, I've got one this week for you, and this one comes out of my own pocket. I don't normally pass it around, so get ready with the pens and paper, because I'm only going to say it once. This spell is going to require a little more preparation than you may be used to. So first of all, this is a spell that you will be beginning on a Monday if you observe the day of rest as being Sunday. Or you will begin this work on a Sunday if you observe Saturday as the day of rest. So your mileage may vary. What you're going to need for this work is two white candles. You need two white candles, and then a third candle to represent the particular matter that you want to change in your life. So if you're trying to draw love, you're going to use a red candle. Money, you're going to use a green candle. Have trouble with the law, you're going to use a brown candle, etc. You're also going to need some protection powder, protection incense powder, that is, and attraction powder. Now, you will begin this work, let's say, on the Monday, by preparing the space where you will do this work. You will go pick the space out that you're going to be doing this, a nice, flat, horizontal area is always perfect, and you will simply clean that area on Monday, and you will say over it, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and then you will walk away. You will come back the next day, and you will place a cloth over that area, making sure it's a nice, clean cloth that you're going to do your spell on, and you will say, "He maketh me to lay down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters," and you will walk away. On the third day, you are going to come in, and you are going to put down your candle holders, your plates you burn your candles on, where you burn your incense, and you will say, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And you will keep doing this, adding a little bit to the preparing area, to the ritual area, until finally, on the fifth day, you will bring all of this together and say, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And at this point, you will anoint your candles with a little bit of olive oil. The next day, you will do the spell. Now, this will now be on the sixth day for the sixth verse of the 23rd Psalm. On this day, the candle to your right, the right-hand candle, will be the candle that you will dress with the protection incense powder or light the protection incense powder before you as is your desire. The one to your left is the one you will either dress or light before with the attraction powder. These are now the two
herding dogs of the Lord. This is goodness and mercy. And you will use goodness and mercy to protect you from that which is trying to harm you and to guide in what is there for you. You will light them both, lighting the third candle, which is for what you're working for, love, money, protection from the law, etc. You will again acknowledge that here is the right-hand candle, goodness, which is protecting me, and here is the left-hand candle, mercy, which is bringing me in what I need. And you will finish your prayer by saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then the next day you will rest and do no work upon that and clean it up the following day. So there you go. I hope it's been amazing.
Wow. That's amazing. That's just an amazing use of the
psalm. That's fantastic.
Yeah. And I love that goodness and mercy made their little reappearance in our life, because I'm telling you, you blew my mind with that one, I'm telling you, Professor Porterfield. wow.
Glad to have.
Yeah, so goodness is the candle on the right, which is with protection, and mercy, the candle on the left, with attraction. Now, you could use the oils. You could use your intention oil plus the sachet powders, or you could also burn two things of incense. Did I get that understandably?
That is absolutely correct. That
right.
is absolutely correct. And what you're doing is you're just building throughout the week, building that little space with each one of those verses.
Right. Got it. That's really, really good. I'm going to add one little note that some things about this spell remind me a little bit of the work that Henri Gamache recommended in the Master Book of Candle Burning. And one thing that Henri Gamache always recommended was that when you're working, you leave your Bible open on the altar while the spell is in progress. So would you advise that as a thing to do, too, to leave the Bible open?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, you're going to leave it open to Psalm 23.
Psalms 23, that's right. Okay,
right.
Well, that's a good one. That's really something. And, you know, I got to say something here, too, about this kind of work. A lot of people like to do something where it's just instant. You know, I'm like that candle, it's all done. But this is a 1 week's worth of work for one intention. And what I tell people is if you can't follow that intention that you had, whatever it may be, for 1 week's worth of work, Your will is not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
here
very
is
true.
a simple one from Charles. Very simple. It doesn't ask for a lot every day. You're not spinning around in circles and doing the whirling dervish dance. Just every day, prepare this thing and get it together and then light it. I love that. I really love that. 7 days. All right.
Yes, but rest on that seventh day or this work's no good.
That's right. 6 days of work, seventh day of rest. You are so right. Thank you for correcting me. Yeah. All righty. Okay. Well, let's see what Miss Tammy Lee can do to bring this strange show to a close. Take it away, Miss Tammy Lee.
I'm sorry. I needed that laugh so bad. Thank you, Miss Kat, so much. And thank you, Countryman Lee and Professor Porterfield in Denton, Texas, for being our very special guest member from here this week. And we invite you to tune in next week when our special guest member from the Association of Independent Rooters and Root Workers will be Mary B. of MaryBConjure.com. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The shows are available in archive by theluckymojo.com/radioshows.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night, Miss Tammy Lee. Thanks for struggling on. Thank you, Professor Porterfield, for being our guest.
Onward and upward with the arts.
That's right. Onward and upward with the arts, our slogan. And thank you, Ali.
Always a pleasure.
It's always lovely to have you here with your calm tones. And so we bring to a close another exciting episode of the Lucky Mojo Curio Company. Who knew? And
the strangest
for those
episode
of you,
so far.
For those of you who are looking for the December newsletter, it will be coming your way soon, we hope. December is just around the corner here, and we are going to be bringing you news about the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, which is upcoming May 16th and 17th. So look for that in Lucky Mojo newsletter with more information. All right. Good night, folks.
Good night.